Man, I'm so thankful for Pastor Jordan and just him entrusting so many people to preach up here. Man, I'm honored to serve alongside Pastor Jordan. I mean, he is the real deal. He's the same person on stage and off of stage. Man, I'm just seriously honored to be here in Cleveland. If you don't know anything about me, you're not missing much. My name is Michael. I have a family. I've got four kids, two dogs, and some fish. And koi fish there, you know. Actually, that's not true. I had an owl come and eat a lot of those fish, so I'm looking for koi fish. Anyways, we moved here to Cleveland 2 years ago from the great state of Texas. And man, we have just loved it here. We absolutely love Cleveland. It is incredible. I would say most of you in this room and the other services are family. It's so awesome. So before we dive in, I want to pray. Father, we come to you right now, and I just pray right now that I get out of the way. God, this is not about me. It's not about anything that I say. It's all about what you are going to say through me, Father. And God, right now, I know that there's someone in this room that walked in today that you are going to impact their life for eternity. And Father, I pray that you will do that in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Mark 4, verse 1. Oh, man, that scared me right there. Okay, Mark 4. I was like, is the ceiling falling? It is. All right, Mark 4, verse 1 says this. Again, he began to teach. Who is he? He is Jesus. He began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat. Are you with that right there? So picture this for a second. Zone in for a minute. Jesus, okay, who came to earth for us, is teaching. And there's a large crowd that gathered. And so what does he do? He gets into a boat, okay? And what is he doing in the boat? He is sitting down in the boat while everybody else there is just listening to everything that he has to say. I mean, they are just in. They're not on Facebook right now. They're not checking the pregame stuff for the Tennessee game. No, they are in everything that he is saying. If they had paper and pen, they're right there taking notes. They are zoned in because they believe what he has to say could change them. And so that's the moment. That's what's happening right here. And so we got into a boat on the sea and he sat down. And while the whole crowd was by the sea on the shore, he taught them many things in parables. So a parable is an earthly story to convey a heavenly reality. A parable, I'm going to say that again. A parable is an earthly story meant to convey a heavenly reality. And each parable, just understand this, each parable is nothing until you discover what it means. It's just a story. It's just a story until you actually start digging in to what that parable means. And so that's what he's doing right now. He's teaching a parable. And look what he says in verse 3. Listen, exclamation point. I like that. I don't know if you know, sometimes we think Jesus is like, okay, everybody just gather around and listen. No, listen. That's what he's saying right there. Like, hey, hold up, listen up. And what do they do? They're listening. Listen, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly, since the soil was deep. Verse 6, when the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it didn't produce much fruit. Verse 8, still other seed fell on the ground, and it grew up, producing fruit that increased 30, 60, and 100 times. Then he said, let anyone who has ears to hear, listen. In today's message, if you're taking notes, I want you to write down the secret of the seed. The secret of the seed. Now imagine in this moment, it says that his disciples are there with him. And his disciples are sitting there. I just picture this. I picture John looking over to Peter as he is telling this parable. And it's like, do you understand the words that are coming out of his mouth? And Peter's like, no. But you know they're like this. You the man, Jesus? You know, they're like, yeah, keep it up, Jesus. What is he saying? I have no idea. I don't know what the seeds mean. I don't know. And then I like how Jesus ends whenever he's telling a parable. Those who have ears, let him hear. And just drops the mic. People are like, what in the world did you just say? But look at verse 10. When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked, what did you just say? They said, hey, what in the world were you just saying? Verse 11, he answers them. He says, the secret of the kingdom, underline that, highlight that. He says, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, comma. But to those outside, everything comes in parables. I want to say that again. To the disciples, to the ones that are listening, to the ones that are asking the deeper questions, he says, the secret of the kingdom has been given to you, but to those outside, everything comes in parables. Verse 12, so that they may indeed look and yet not perceive. They may indeed listen and yet not understand. Otherwise, they might turn back and be forgiven. Here's what he's saying. If the crowd actually listened and actually wanted to know more, they would be saved, but they don't. And the disciples are like, okay, so you're telling us the secret? And what he's saying right here, look at verse 13. Then he said to them, don't you understand this parable? Oh, can you imagine Jesus asking you a hard question like that? They were just sitting there and be like, I don't know what you're saying. And then they gather up to him like, hey, can you help me understand the words? What was that? And then he says in verse 13, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? He's saying this to his disciples. If you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand anything else that I'm saying. So this is pretty important. And what he's telling them also is that their soul right now is fertile. That they've actually been working on their soul. They've actually been working on it so that they can understand what Jesus is saying. And he's saying, you understand this. You get this. But here's what I want to do. Maybe you're like, man, what? I don't understand the parable. There's seeds and all this stuff. So here's what I want to do. I want to tell a parable in the 2022 Michael Head version. Okay? So again, not Jesus at all. Okay? Not even close. Just hang out with me a little bit. But I want to tell a parable. So bear with me in this beautiful parable. Okay? So one day there was a bird. Okay? And the bird was flying south for winter. And as he was flying south, it started to snow. And the snow hit his wings, and then it started to freeze. So it turned in, it just started to get wet, and his wings, and then the bird fell to the ground. And the bird's on the ground like, oh no, it's freezing, I'm a bird, I can't flap my wings, this is how I'm gonna die, I'm freezing to death. And he's just talking like, ah, help, 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 and he's tweeting, and he's upset, and he's doing all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, a cow comes. A cow comes and stands right over the frozen bird and has a deposit on the bird. The bird's like, oh no, I'm gonna die here with manure on me. This is awful. Frozen in here, manure's on me. I don't know what to do. This is horrible. The bird's just going nuts and then it can't talk anymore. Well, what happens is eventually the manure, the deposit that was warm, started to melt the ice. And the bird is like, yes, yes. It's like, so like, oh, I get it now. Okay, yes, I'm so excited. Thank you. And starts to just make a big racket. It starts to tweet, tweet, tweet. It's just tweeting all over the place and so pumped. And then a cat comes along, digs the bird out, eats it, and leaves. Those who have ears, let them hear. What? Like what? And like right now, some of you are like, yeah, that was... It was interesting. What's Cracker Barrel got? Like that's your moment. Like what? How do I take that? Yeah, that was good. You lean on your wife, like, did that make sense? Yeah, it was the manure. I get it. And then some of you literally would just leave. That was weird. Don't know what that meant. But then there's some of us, like Joe. Joe, come here real quick. This is what some do. And so we have Joe right here, and Joe is in the he's in the service, and he heard the service, and he's like, I gotta get the deeper meaning of what in the world Michael Head was talking about. And so he leaves, and follow me around, he leaves, And he's like, man, I need to get, I don't have his phone number. And so he asked somebody for my phone number. And you're like, I don't have his phone number. And so he's like, man, I've got to find out. And the guy's like, I have his address though. And Joe's like, sweet, I will go to his house. And so Joe gets in his car, he's heading to my house. And, but bad news, his car breaks down. His car breaks down. He's like, I have to find out the meaning of the bird and the manure and all the things. And so he shows up at my house because his car didn't work, but his phone didn't. So he used Uber. I think they have that in Cleveland. And so he gets an Uber to my house. It really wasn't that far. And he gets to my house and he knocks on my door. Well, guess what? I'm not home. All right, I'm not home because I'm at Cracker Barrel with the rest of you and I'm hanging out. And so what does Joe do while he's at my house is he's loitering. He's like, I'm not gonna leave until I find out what Michael was saying. I've gotta find out. And my neighbors, who I love, are like, hey, police, we've got a loiterer, okay? And it looks like Joe Renner, and he is outside of Michael's house and it is weird. And he's screaming, I'm not leaving until I find out what he said. And then all of a sudden the police come. And the police are like, hey, Joe, get in my car. He's like, I gotta find out. And they do all the things and they put him in the, I don't know because I've never done it, but they put him in the car. He's in my car, or not my car, he's in the police car. I pull up into my driveway. I'm like, man, why is the police here? And the cop, and he's banging, I know him, I know him. And then all of a sudden, the cop gets out and says, hey, do you know this guy? And being the kind, awesome man that I am, I was like, I never seen him in my life. I don't know him. Why is he at my house? No, truthfully, I'm like, hey, yeah, this is Joe. He's, I don't know why he's here, but I bring him in and we hang out. And Joe's like, man, Michael, I need to know the meaning of the story of the bird that was flying and the ice that came down. And then the cow came in. Yeah. And then the cat ate it. Like, what in the world was that story? I'm like, Joe, come on, man. Obviously. Those who have ears, let them hear. There's three things, Joe. Number one, everybody that comes and puts manure on you is not your enemy. Okay, number two, everyone who digs you out of the manure is not your friend. And number three, when you're in the manure, keep your mouth shut and don't even think about tweeting. That's the three parts of the story, Joe. That's it. But here's what we see in that story right there. Here's what we see. Yeah, the tweeting part, I thought that was funny. Here's what we see, though. Joe is showing the difference between a casual church attender and somebody passionately pursuing Jesus. What we see right here, what Joe did, is the difference in religion and a relationship. What we see right here, what Joe did, is the difference in being in the crowd or a disciple. Write this down. God will always give you information to the level of your interest. For those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be blessed. God will always give you information to the level of your interest. Psalm 25:14. Check this out. The secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he reveals his covenant to them. The secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he reveals his covenant to them. You can't get a secret without seeking. But the problem is, we don't want to seek. It takes too much time. We had some people at our house this past week, and they were playing hide and seek with our kids. Okay, I don't know about you, but hide and seek for me now, I don't really enjoy it. It's really hard for me to get into little spaces. Okay, that was my jam back in the day. Not so much happening now. But with hide and seek, for me, our daughter came into our room. She was looking around and seeking the people that were hiding. And as she was, I was like, stop, just stop looking. It's a lot easier if you just sit down and wait. And you move on with your day. And then the people that are hiding are like, I won, I did it. But really we're like, good job, way to go. I just didn't really want to seek after you. Why? Because it takes too much time. It takes too much time to do that. It takes too much time to seek. I mean, it's easier for us to look it up on Google. You have a question, you know, someone's talking to you and it's like something like, I should know this. You're like Googling it like, Is the bird with the manure on him a real story? You know, it's not, by the way. And you Google it. It's easy for us to look it up. Maybe you're reading the word and you don't understand something. It's easier for us to go to Google and trust search engines versus really allowing God to reveal that to us in his word. Because we're such a culture of like, I mean, we got to have it right now. And I get it. I'm with you 100%. But when it comes to the secrets of the kingdom, we've got to seek after it. You know, for me, man, I had a life-altering moment that happened to me in January. And man, we went away as a staff and we had a staff retreat. And while we were away, we had somebody come and they were speaking. Man, he talked about seeking first the kingdom. You know, I'm like, I get it. You know, it's really good. Seek first the kingdom of God and get up early with him and do all the things. Well, the truth was when God used him in that message to seriously impact my heart in such a great way. Because I would tell you this, I was seeking the Lord, but I wasn't seeking him first. My day looked like this. I would wake up early. I enjoyed a run. So I wake up super early and I go on a run. I get back. I help my wife get the kids ready, get them to school. I come up here at the church and I might pray a little bit while I'm running that I don't die and might listen to some worship music or might listen to a podcast. And then I come here to work and I would read the Bible maybe a little bit and I would go about my day. And for me, I was thinking, man, that's good. That's good. But truly, it wasn't enough. And I didn't realize it until in January 2022, God said, hey, really good job getting up and running early. Great, great job. But since you're already up early, will you please spend time with me? And man, I was like, so what does that mean? It means you gotta get up and spend time with me. And y'all, and this isn't like high five, Michael Head, way to go. No. Here's what you need to understand. There was a moment in my life when I realized I was seeking after the wrong things first. And I have had a drastic change in who, at least for me, I don't know if anybody else can tell, but for me in my relationship with the Lord and my wife and my family, I'm telling you, seeking him first before anything else has changed my life. Seeking him first before anything else. And man, it has been so powerful for me. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. You're like, oh, I don't have time. You do. Oh, Michael, you don't understand my situation. I don't. But I'm telling you right now, God is like, hello? Are you just going to come to church and that's your moment with me? Or are we going to spend time together because I have a secret for you in the kingdom that is more than just sitting in a row in a church and doing a Bible study? And it truly can change you. And so how do we do that in a world that says, man, it's got to be an instant. But the kingdom says it takes time. How do we do that? And God says, and you can't see this, but I have a seed right here. And God says, I'm going to do it with a seed. I want to do it with a seed. And so I take the seed and I put it in here. And God said, man, it's not about a snap. It's not about this instant moment that all of a sudden just changes your life. God says, no. I take a snap, but I want it to be a seed. Because it takes time. It takes time. It doesn't happen in a moment, but because of that moment, everything can change. I'm gonna say that again. It doesn't happen in a moment. You'll have, you know, people up here like, it happens to change your life right now. You know, and you're like, yeah. And you leave, you're like, I'm the same. What happened? Like in this moment, God will move in you, and you walk out and you're like, I'm no different. But here's what happened. Because of that moment, everything can change. Because of that moment, everything can change. The problem is it's going to take some watering. Make sure there's no holes in here. It's going to take some watering. It's going to take some cultivating. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some care. It's going to take time. And know this, if that seed doesn't produce, the problem wasn't with the seed. If the seed doesn't produce, the problem is not with the seed, it's with the soil. The only constant in the parable that I was reading is the seed, is the word of God. Understand this, the word never changes. The word never changes, this never changes, but the soil does change. And today what I want to do as we getting ready to conclude is this. I want to do a soil test. I want to do a soil test. And I don't know, not many farmers in here. Maybe you are. I'm not at all. I have a garden and there's like four things and I'm just working my tail off to cultivate the land. And they're like, Michael, you shouldn't talk about the soil if you're not a good gardener. I'm just being real, okay? I'm working my hardest. I got peppers, two watermelons, and strawberries, and it's a battle, all right? It's a battle. So I want to do a soil test, but what I want to do, I want to take the I out, and I want to add a U. And I want to look at our souls today. I want to look at our souls as Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's breaking down exactly what he was talking about with the different soils. James 1:21 says this. James 1:21. Therefore, ridding yourself of all moral filth. And by the way, right here, James is talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians. He says this, therefore, ridding yourself of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Humbly. We need to understand that today. Humbly understanding. Humbly understanding. Humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not just hearers, deceiving yourself. We can just sit in here and hear it and be like, here we go, that's good. And you're like, man, why is nothing changing in my life? It's because we're just hearing it. Then James keeps talking to the Christians. He's like, man, it's like someone look in a mirror and they walk away and they forget what they look like. And today I pray this. I pray this. I don't know where you're at, but I pray that today you will humbly receive what God wants to say to you today. So there's four types of souls that we see in verse 15. The first one, the calloused soul. So I've been a pastor for 23 years. Most of that time, I've been preaching a whole lot, and I've done small crowds, large crowds, circles, lines. Just, well, that sounds bad. I haven't done lines, but I've done. You're with me. And so I've done it. And one thing about a callous soul as a communicator, you can see, the callous soul is obvious. Okay, they're like, shut your mouth, kid. It's so funny. Like, I mean, I guess I'm young, but I guess whatever. But people are like, oh, that guy, the blonde kid, shut. You don't even know what you're talking about. And it's like you're just sucking on a lemon. Okay, you're that person. Okay, and that person right now is like so mad at me. And I was like, hey, you're in the Bible. Okay, verse 15, the calloused soul, the one who's like, oh, I don't even want to be here. La 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 la. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying right here. He is talking to the calloused soul. Verse 15, he says, some are like the word sown on the path. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word sown to them. You know what I love about this, though, is that I'm not Jesus, number one. That's a huge, great thing. But what you see right here is even though there's a callous soul, Jesus is still throwing the word. He is still throwing the word no matter what. Because here's what I know about Jesus. He will do anything that he can to get your attention. He will do anything that he can so that you will come into his kingdom. So he's throwing it. He's throwing it. He's throwing it on the path that everybody was walking on, the hard path. So how's your soul today? How's your soul? By the way, we're talking to Christians here. Because these people, your spirit has already been saved, but your soul is in the process of being saved. So how's your soul? How's your soul? Callous soul. The second one, the shallow soul. Verse 16, and others are like seed sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. I love these people. I mean, I do. Like, you're like, I get, okay. Because you're like, amen. Like, hallelujah. You know, I'm. You know, you're getting after it, and you're excited, and you leave out like, man, that was so good. Melody crushed that song. She brought an old song and made it cool and did all the things and clapped. And then, man, we went to Bible study, and that was awesome. I went and served. It was incredible. God is moving in my life. And, man, you got all the words. You got all the words. And, man, you're rocking and rolling until life hits you in the mouth. Until things get hard. Because look what it says. Look what it says. It says, verse 17, but they have no root. They have no root. And I've been that one. where life hits and you're like, oh man, you have no root. They're short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. You know, with the shallow soil, what you see is actually the rocks are at the bottom. And there's not much soil. So how's your soul? When life hits, are you blown away? Or when life hits, are you the same? The third soul, the worried soul. Verse 18. Others are like seed thrown among thorns. Remember, this is one of those, bring us back to the beginning. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, breaking down what he said to the crowd. He's explaining it. And now he's talking about the worried soul. Others are like seed sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word. But the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. Man, they love God. This is a soil that loves God. This is a soil that, man, they love the Lord. But then they're just so worried. Like, what was the thing that you were worried about when you walked in today? That is choking out what God has for you. That's the weeds that are coming up. I've got a rose bush. Again, I'm not good at this whole thing. I'm trying my hardest, but I've got a rose bush and there's some weeds that were coming up. Try and choke it out. So what did I do? I just cut it off. No, I actually went down to the root and I pulled it out. I pulled the weed out, because if I just cut it off and I move on and act like everything's okay for a little bit, that actually doesn't help. The weed's like, thank you. Here we go. Man, understand this. This is not your home. This earth that we're on, it's not our home. For example, when I go to hotels, I never use the drawers. I don't know if you do that. Some people are like, man, they unpack, and man, they're like, it is like, we're staying one day. You just laid it all out, which is great. But I know this, I'm not doing that for a lot of reasons. But really, I know that's not my home. That's not my home. This is not our home. Eternity with the Lord in heaven is our home. And I understand the worries that may be choking you out, and those worries are legit, and I understand that. But here's the great thing about Jesus Christ, is that whenever you're able to take whatever that is worrying you, and you're able to give that to him, he honestly will take it from you. But are you willing to dig it out, pull it up, and give it to him? That takes work. You might sweat, you might cry, and it might hurt. But I'm telling you, he wants it. He wants it. The worried soul. You're like, man, why am I not growing in my life? And I'm coming in and I'm hearing great things. Pastor Jordan, man, but I'm not changing. How's your soul? The fourth that he talks about is the healthy soul. And those like seeds sown on good ground hear the word, welcome it. Highlight that, underline that. And notice it's surrounded by two commas, which means we pause right there for a second. And those like seeds sown on good ground hear the word, welcome it. Welcome it. You hear the word and you welcome it. And produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. I'm telling you right now, as the farmers are listening to that, most crops would yield a 7 times the seed. Jesus is saying, if you will welcome it, it will produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 times. Look, Michael, how do I do that? Here's how. First, you're honest with yourself. It's okay not to have it all together. That's why we have Jesus. It's okay to have a messed up soul. Like, what does that mean? I'm not a Christian? Not at all. It just means you're in the process of getting your life so that Jesus can do something. Man, maybe you need to seek him first before anything else. Maybe before you roll out of bed and you grab your phone, you're grabbing your Bible. Maybe you have a place set up in your house. That is your place for you to spend time with your Lord. I don't know what that is for you, but the problem is so many people coming in here and they're looking for the oak tree. When you leave, you're walking out like, man, I need an oak tree. Well, we're throwing acorns. Pastor George is throwing acorns. Pastors are throwing acorns. And some of us are taking the acorn and we're like, man, that's good. And then you leave it in the parking lot versus taking that acorn, putting it in and allowing God to do some stuff in your life and to work on that and to cultivate that so that eventually it grows into something awesome and huge that God wants to use in such a great way. Something has to happen to your soul when you leave here. Some of us have been going through the religious stuff for a very long time. And you're wondering why, again, nothing is changing. You're wondering why your mouth is the same. You're wondering why you're treating your spouse that way. You're wondering why you're so annoyed all the time with everything that's going on. You're wondering why when you come to church and it's the same stuff. And matter of fact, you may be getting irritated with the things that are happening in church because you're so offended by everything. It's time to allow the Lord to work in your life and to cultivate what God has given us. Stop playing games. Stop being religious, Cleveland, Tennessee, and start a relationship with Jesus. Like, I'm already Christian. Are you? Are you? I mean, it's like when we come to church sometimes, it's kind of like a restaurant. Man, I took my wife, we went on a little getaway. I don't know if y'all have been there. It's like the Grove Inn or something, and we only went to dinner there, okay? We roll up, and it's nice, and it's in Asheville, and a beautiful thing, and we're overlooking the deal, and they bring the menu out, and I'm like, whoa, babe, stick to the salads. Okay, and I'm like, we're going to get water and a side salad, and watch the sun. And the wait, so that there's the menu is proclaiming, again, sometimes church is like a restaurant. The menu is proclaiming all the stuff, like, hey, look at it. I'm like, ah, what is that? I can't even pronounce that. That looks amazing. I'm like, ha, ah, I don't have so much money. And then the waitress comes out. She's like, mm-mm-mm-mm. She's coming out. She's like, hey, welcome. It's your first time. What are you celebrating? I'm like, nothing. We're here and can have water. And you know, for me, I'm always like, ah, man, I should have ordered a Coke Zero. Because I'm like, she's trying to upsell. Hey, here's the beer. I didn't do that, okay. And she goes, let me just tell you about the specials. I was like, oh, tell me. Tell me about the specials. She's like, we have this Wagyu steak. 5 ounces. I was like, 5 ounces? $130. I was like, I said, can I try it? Can I just get a bite of it? I said, people buy that? She's like, yeah, you know, they massage the cow. I'm like, that's weird. Anyways, and she starts telling me about all this other stuff. She's telling me about this steak and this food, and I was like, oh, it's so good. Like, she's just talking about it. And she goes, typically, here's how we do it. We start with the starter, and then we have a salad, and then we have the main course, and then we get dessert. I'm like, look, I hear you. You're doing a great job of selling this, but we're going to get two things, okay? We might share the vegetables. And so we order, and I'm like, oh, I'm kind of looking at everybody else, like what they're getting. I was like, did anybody get the Wagyu? Okay, anybody? And then finally they bring it out, right? I got a steak, not the Wagyu, just typical steak. And man, that steak was like, oh, had a little on it, and it was so good looking, right? And what if I just had the steak and I didn't eat it? Because I've been thinking about it, like marinating on it, like just meditating on this steak is going to be so good. And what if it came and I just like looked at it? It's a good steak. Sometimes we do that at church. The best thing to do is to cut into the steak. Oh, man. I know it's lunchtime. You're like, will you shut up and let us go to lunch? And then you hit the steak. And then I start to eat it, right? What if all of a sudden I just spit it out? That was good. Sometimes we do that with church. Sometimes we do that with the Lord. As we put it in, we're like, don't have time. I got to get rid of it. But man, here's where the greatest part is whenever you actually ingest it. And it's like, yes, that was good. And then man, that's the same thing with here. Is what are we going to do with the seeds, the word that God has implanted in us? We're just gonna leave, or we're gonna allow it to do something in our lives.